Hello, you're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Lee Hamlin, and I get to serve as the children's pastor here, and it's a great joy to do that. And I actually got a new title, so now I'm grandpa, and And the cool thing about those pictures is actually, I think it's Yolanda, right? And Becca were in the same hospital. And so the children, actually they both had to be in the NICU at the same time too. And but Yolanda's home and that baby's fine. And Jonathan has a little while more before he can come home. But he is getting stronger. I was there yesterday, and I just stood probably an hour, just like hands in that little cage thing that, you know, just holding them, and it's great. And then I got my phone out, I started reading the Bible to him. No one was like, "Oh, Dad, can you stop reading the Bible?" I was like, reading, you know, praying. It was awesome, I'm telling you. Good stuff. Well, you know, this summer we're doing sermon in a sentence, right? And I have really enjoyed these messages when I've sat in here. Some of them I've had to listen online, but I've really been blessed. How many of you were here last Sunday and you heard the one on Thought Life? You know that? Yeah, wasn't that awesome? I mean, all through the week, I'm thinking about that message. Like, wow, I wonder what's underneath these actions, you know? And I was giving some driving lessons to one of my children. Not going to tell you which one. But, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder what's underneath why we're doing what we're doing. And that's just been so, such a helpful to me. And then the one before about outdoing one another and showing honor. Isn't that a great truth? Have you been doing that? I mean, how isn't that going to change, like, our homes and our communities, our places of work when we do these things? I think that's so awesome. Well, this morning, you know, the message title is Let the Children Come, and I think that God has a blessing for us as we open His Word and we kind of unpack the Scripture where we get that out of, and so why don't we start by praying, and then we'll get going. So keep bowing your heads with me. Father God, we are so grateful. God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, God, that you look lovingly on us and you cherish us, that you know every day of our life. And God, you care about the concerns and the fears and everything that we're going through. And Father, thank you, Lord, that even in our weakness, God, you care for us. And you show yourself strong on our behalf. And we just pray your blessing over this message today and over the teaching of your word. Would you open our hearts and minds to receive it, God? Would you speak to us and encourage us? And Father, particularly in this culture, God, would you help us to believe what you say is true and not give in to fear and worry and anxiety and ungodly thinking? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday, I'm home, and Dean and I and Abby, we were trying to kind of catch up. You know, it's been a pretty busy summer, and things have kind of been let go, and so we're trying to clean and do some projects, and as projects go, you know, they're never quite as quick as you think they'll be. Like, okay, I need this, I gotta run the store for that, and so, you know, it's a little bit of attention, let's put it that way. And so we're kind of scurrying around, and you know, so the phone rings, and it just rings once, and then nothing. And so we're like, and Dee Dee, so we have caller ID, right? You have caller ID. So she looks at it, and going by, and she's like, "Ooh, Macugas. Okay, we better call them back because this actually been happening a couple times, and we just." That we're busy, and so I grab the phone and I call Peter, and so I get him on the phone, and And I'm like, Peter, Brian just once, and then, I don't know, we just thought maybe we should call you back. And he's like, yeah, you should really look into that because, that might make people angry. And I was like, well, I think I just got a message. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. We'll try to do that. And so he says, oh, can I talk to, he says, you want to talk to Dee? So I give the phone to Dee, and to her, he's like, okay, Becca's in labor, she's a minute and a half apart, we can't reach her doctor, like the emergency number isn't working, we're thinking of just going to Stony Brook, so they're supposed to go to a different hospital. And so Dee's like, okay, so I don't know if you know, but Becca was due on October 3rd, so she's 7 weeks early. And Dee's like, yes, go to Stony Brook and just get there. And so they hang up and we are like, whoa, okay. So we start praying and then we're like, okay, do we call people? Do we not call people? Anyhow, so they rush there. And the next, and I did reset the phone, by the way. Yeah, so I started getting calls after that. So if you called me on Saturday, I'm sorry, I wasn't hanging up on you. But and we get the word that the next word we get is from Peter, and he's like, okay, we have to do emergency C-section. And so we're like, yeah. So now I definitely called Pastor Mike. Now I'm like, okay. Call him, okay, tell him, could you start praying, get other people praying. And so it began, and unbeknownst to us, that emergency C-section only took 7 minutes. It was like, ow. Yeah. And all kinds of ways where the hand of God was on that situation. The Becca had actually, when she was finishing up nursing school last fall, she had worked at Stony Brook in the NICU, and she had done her training there, and she actually knew some of the people that were working that day. She actually knew the surgeon who did the C-section, and had sat in and watched the surgeon do C-sections as she was training to be a nurse. So it was like all these cool connections, and how God's hand was all over it, and we really didn't need to worry. But just to trust. And it was amazing. The day after, we were kind of amazed that all these people who give themselves to saving the lives of little children. And you know what's cool about the NICU? When they talk about the age, they don't start at birth. They start at conception. So Jonathan is now 34 weeks old. And he was 33 when he was born, right? Isn't that a little bit of a hypocrisy? Because, in the laws, that child's not protected. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy. But anyhow, it kind of grieves me that all this joy that I feel and that we feel when we see a child come in, not everybody feels that. And as a matter of fact, there's a kind of a small group, but a growing sentiment that some people feel like we shouldn't celebrate children being born. And I looked online for this, kind of just like the trending things, and I looked at BBC Trending, and this is an article from this week. It says, antinatalists, people who want you to stop having babies. Yeah. And this is a real group. It says they believe that humans shouldn't have children. Who are the antinatalists and how far are they willing to push their ideas? Now, antinatalism actually isn't a new thing. It was thought of during the Greeks. And honestly, I think from the beginning of creation, right? Hasn't Satan always wanted to kill, steal, and destroy?
Yes.
And isn't he against life? And so this isn't really new, but it is alarming to us. And what this article says is, it says that that this movement has recently been given a huge boost through social media. It says on Facebook and Redbook there are dozens of anti-natalist groups, some with thousands of members in them. And that's kind of alarming, right? And you realize, honestly, I actually feel sorry for them. And the article goes on to explain that most of the people, or many of the people, they're usually fearful or worried, and it's causing, this is a reaction. Some of them struggle with depression in these groups, and it's, you know, I'm not making it up, this is what the article said, and it said, because they're struggling, they're like, well, I'm suffering, so I don't want other people to be born in this world who are going to suffer. And some people are afraid of the environment, like, okay, so the population isn't sustainable, so we've got to limit the number of people. And you know, these fears and things, they're not God-centered, and so they're making ungodly conclusions from them. And that's why it's so important to get God's perspective. And that's why we got to open His Word and let it speak to our hearts. And that's what I want to do this morning. So the passage we're going to read, it's Mark 10, and it's 13 through 16. Let me just set this up for you before we read it. So all three of the Gospels have this account. And this is the account of people bringing children to Jesus to have Him bless them. And so if you read in the first verse of chapter 10, it talks about, okay, so Jesus traveled to the area of Judea, right? He crossed the Jordan River, and what we come to find out is He's actually on His way to Jerusalem. And this is His last trip, okay? Because when He gets to Jerusalem, right, He's going to be turned over to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they're going to have Him crucified. And on the way, He's starting to tell His disciples, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And honestly, they just won't hear it. Like, they're not getting it. That's not what they think is going to happen. And so even though He's saying it, it's not getting through. And so he's there, and he's doing this, and when he gets to this region, it says a crowd gathers around Him again, and again, it was custom that He taught them. So He starts teaching this crowd of people. And sure enough, as He's teaching them, this group of Pharisees comes up, and they don't believe in Him, and they're trying to trap Him. So they ask Him this question about divorce, like, okay, is it permissible? You know, they're trying to just get something on Him. And He gets engaged in this discussion. And it's in the middle of that discussion that this takes place. So let's read it together, right? It says, and they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant. And He said, let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the children of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And He took them in His arms, and He blessed them, laying His hands on them. So, the sermon in the sentence is actually in there. I don't know if you can really see it, but it's just, let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them. Can we say that together? Here we go, ready? Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them. Now, down in Promised Land, what we do is to kind of help us remember, we got to say it a few times. So we do something called crazy stand-ups. And so for crazy stand-ups, what I do is, okay, so if you, like, got up this morning out of your bed, you know, could you stand up and say it to me? So let's try here. Ready? So if you got up this morning, could you stand up and let's say that together? Ready? I know. We're not kids, but, you know, here we go, ready? Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them. Okay, you guys can sit down. So, how about those who, so let's say you brushed your hair this morning. Okay, so if you brushed your hair this morning, I want you to stand up. Okay, yep. Come on. Here we go. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Okay, I see Jay laughing over there. He's like, yeah, that's not me. Okay, all right. You know, and I always try to do things where it makes them all stand up, obviously. But, you know, Jesus loves the children. And he desires that they come to him. You know, according to the scriptures, children are a gift from God. Right? They're not a liability. They're an asset. Right? And really, the children and people are made in God's image, and the greatest resource that this planet has is the people on it. Right? I was listening to a book on tape about seven great men, and I don't know if you heard that by Eric Metaxas. I think it's been mentioned before in some of the messages, but and how these people have made the world a better place, right? And think of the inventions that people have made, and you know, so maybe I should put it this way. Regenerate people are the greatest asset on the planet, right? If we have the new creation, the Spirit of God in us, and we're living in obedience to him, right, we're going to bless this planet. And, you know, we don't need to fear overpopulation. Like, God's the one who supplies the food, right? For every living thing, right? I open my hand and supply the needs of every living thing on the planet. So we don't need to be fearful of that or environment. Like, God created the environment, and it can handle people. He did a good job when he made it. So anyhow, we don't want to give in to that kind of fear or worldly thinking. Like, we've got to stop, you know, humans from filling the earth and subdue it. Isn't that the divine mandate, right? Fill the earth and subdue it. So what I want to do is I want to kind of walk through this passage with you, kind of verse by verse, and pull it apart. So the first verse there, 10:13. Do we have the single one? Maybe not. Okay, so it starts off, they're bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Now, when I looked at this, that, like I said, this account is in all three of the synoptic gospels, right? And so, in all three of them, the they is never clarified. Like, we don't know who they really are. And we can kind of guess, right? Most likely it was parents, right? Or it could have been grandparents, right? Or, you know, aunts or uncles or maybe caregivers. But the point is, God doesn't tell us exactly who they are. And I think that's on purpose, right? I think he purposely didn't tell us because, you know, from God's perspective, we all have a responsibility to bring the children to Jesus. It's not just the parent job. It's all of the people of God's job. And Psalm 78, I think the last time I preached on this one, in verse 4, it says, we will not hide them from their children, but will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. Right? So it's kind of wired into God's people. If they have the heart of God, there's this, okay, I've got to tell the next generation about God. And if you look at verse 7, it's like, so that they might set their hearts on him. You know, and I've heard it said before, you know, there's a race for the hearts and minds of the children. You know, we've got to tell them the greatness of God so they can see that and not get distracted or not believe the lies that they're being told in the world. And it just grieves my heart that kids are growing up in such a hostile environment that's so scary for them, and they're not getting the right message. You know, they're not getting the message that God is great and you can trust him, that they're made in his image and they're valuable. So we all have that responsibility of bringing the children to Jesus. Jack Wortson, the founder of Word of Life, he said, "I believe it's the responsibility of every generation to reach their generation for Christ." So, now the second part of that verse, that he might touch them. And you know, I looked up, you know, the power of touch. Touch is so powerful. And so Becca was in the hospital, and the baby was on these monitors and this kind of a CPAP machine is kind of giving extra air pressure, and breathing was very rapid, and which was kind of dangerous. And but you know, when she would take him and hold him, you know, and they actually kind of were free, and they're like, "Okay, well, we want skin to skin contact." Yeah. And he would calm down, right? His breathing would lessen and just kind of relax. And you know, touch is so powerful, and here are these parents, and they're wanting to bring their children to Jesus, or these, like I said, relatives or caregivers, so that he could touch them. Think of how that will impact the children. Think of the people who are the antinatalists now. What if they had been brought to Jesus so that he might touch them? Right? Wouldn't it help them have a whole different perspective of life and not live in such fear? So that's so powerful. Now, it says the last part, the disciples rebuke them. And how do you think Jesus felt about the disciples rebuking them? You think he was happy about that? No. I don't think he was happy about that at all. And you know, you gotta look at the context here, right? So here's Jesus, right? He's teaching people, and then he gets this trick question, and they're trying to derail him and mess him and try to trap him. Right? So do the Pharisees really care what Jesus is saying? No. They're not really listening. Like their hearts aren't open. They're just trying to trick him. Right? Looking for any wrong word. So Jesus, you know, is talking with them and you know, giving the truth. And so he's engaged in that. And here's a group of people that are coming that actually want to hear from Jesus and are actually wanting this blessing. And the disciples, I mean, bless their hearts. I mean, I'm sure they had their reasons, but what are they doing? They're like, "Okay, you guys go away. We've got to get this done." And I can imagine what's going through their head. Now, do we have that 10 verse 1 again? Mark 10 verse 1. Look at this verse. See, it should be in there. There we go. Okay. You know, Carl's not a lot closer to that screen, right? So it says, look at here. "And he left there and went to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. The crowds gathered to him what? Again. Right? And what? Again, as was his custom, he taught them." Now, they could have just said this. By the way, that's in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. Everyone says, "Again. Again." And when you're saying it like, "Again," what are you saying? Like, "Oh, man, here we go again," right? These guys had been with Jesus for 3 years. They knew the drill. They knew how this went. Okay, here he is. We're having a great teaching time, right? We're in here, okay? We're trying this, whatever. The Pharisees are asking these good questions. And like, oh, man, interruption. But this is like, now they didn't have strollers, but it's like the stroller brigade just showing up, you know? And, you know, look, ministry to children is messy, right? These kids smell. Someone probably threw up, you know? And it's like, oh, no, not again, right? Here they come. And And so here's the disciples, and they're thinking, oh man, like, what if he has to feed them again? Like, all these people, how long did it take us to clean up after that whole mess? Like, we all had to carry the baskets down full of food. Like, not again, right? They didn't see who God was sending to them. They didn't see the value. They didn't get the real picture. And you know what the next verse says? It says, Jesus was indignant, right? He was upset, right? Angry. Not sinful anger, but this really bothered him that they were sending away the very ones he wanted to bless. Right? So what does he do? He rebukes them, right? And he tells them, back to our, right? When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children, what? Come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. So Jesus rebukes them, and he kind of recalculates their thinking. Okay, this isn't just, you know, like, this isn't just an interruption. No. The kingdom of God belongs to these people. Why? Because their hearts are open, right? They're not closed off. They actually want to hear what he has to say. And here is Jesus saying, look, no, let them come. Let them come to me. And then he starts encouraging them, because these people that God are sending, they have something we can learn. They're a model for us, right? Unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom. And so the disciples are trying to send them away. They're sending away the example, right? The thing that we're going to learn. And you know, what are some of the things that we can learn from children? You know, I found an article called Seven Qualities of Childlike Faith. And this is written by Tom Stewart. He was a pastor. Now he's got a ministry called Ignited to Pray Ministries. And from the Midwest, apparently God has used him in great ways, but he lists seven qualities that children have. You know, children are trusting, right? They know how to trust without hesitancy. And they giggle when they're tossed into the air and plunge recklessly from high places, all because they know that they'll be caught in the outstretched arms of their daddy, right? And doesn't God want us to learn to trust him, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? So we can learn that from these children. What else? You know, children are transparent, right? They're not good at hiding their flaws, Tom writes. Their wrongdoings or their emotions. And isn't that what God says, right? The psalmist wrote Psalm 51, but you desire truth in the innermost being, right? In the womb, like, don't hide it. Just be honest with me. Isn't that what's required for salvation, right? We got to be honest with God and honest about our faults. So children are transparent. Children are carefree. They live in the present with no concern for the future. Looking at my grandson, he's laying there in the little box there in the NICU. Did you know he's not worried? You know, this world, like, all this crazy stuff going on, he's like at peace. He's like, he's actually super chill. He's kind of like stretching. You know, I thought we had a picture in there, but you know, so. Here he is, and that's how God wants us to be. Right? Right? Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I got this. Just trust me. And we can learn that from children. Everyone knows children can be persistent. That they never tire of asking questions and making requests. And didn't Jesus teach us to pray that way? Right? Right? Ask and keep on asking. You know, the persistent widow. Like that's a quality that's part of the kingdom. Jesus wants us to learn that. Spontaneous. Children are always game for adventure. Imaginative. Children see possibilities where many just see problems. Joyful. A child's joy is not so much based on the circumstances about them as it is in the people they love. They love being with them. And isn't that what God wants from us? Right? Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. I mean, is that verse, that's a tough one to live out, isn't it? Like, always, God? Really? Why? You know, but we're looking at the circumstances instead of looking at who's with us. I love that point Pastor Josh made last week, right? You know, just our perspective on things. We can be focused on the problem. We can be focused on who's with us in the problem. And boy, I can't wait to see how this thing's going to turn out. Last Saturday night, you know, Abigail said to me, "Dad, is this going to be okay?" You know, and I was like, "Abby, it's going to be fine. Because whatever happens, God is with us. He's going to help us through it, right? He already knows. He knows the number of our days. He's good. We can trust him no matter what." And we can learn that. We can learn that from the children. So children are a gift from God. They're the model for us. Luke 18:7 says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Right? They set the example for us. Okay. Somewhere in here I got a page I should be looking at. What's the next verse? So, all right. He took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, I do not want you to miss this moment. Think about what just happened. Jesus takes these children in his arms. And Luke clarifies, because this isn't just like, I mean, they all say little children, but Luke says even the infants. Like, he's got the babies, and he's got them in his arms, and he's blessing them. Now, how important is it for Jesus to bless these children? Think of what those hands have done, right? They've touched blind people, and they could see, right? Or lepers, and they became whole, right? How about his voice? He said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And they went calm. Right? He spoke the world into existence. He just gave the word. And it came to be. And then he filled the earth with life. Right? Provided everything that was needed. How important is that? Would it be for Jesus to speak life into these children and to bless them? Is that going to change their whole life? Absolutely, right? Don't our children still need that today? They need to hear peace, be still. Maybe we need to hear that too, right? They need to feel the touch, the healing touch of Jesus. And maybe we need that too. And God has called you and me into this ministry. Now, so I was listening online to a video on discipleship, the guy actually talked to this point. And he said, you know, when Jesus was growing up, they knew him as like Joseph and Mary's son, right? And And then, you know, after his baptism, right, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, something changed, right? Because now he starts teaching and preaching, and all the people who grew up with him, they're like, who is this guy? Like, wait a minute, isn't that just Joseph and Mary's son? You see, something fundamentally, there was a difference in Jesus from before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, right? And then after. And so now they're like, whoa, okay. And I guess my point is this, and you know, theologically, I'm not sure how it all works out because obviously Jesus is God, but I do know that Jesus came and modeled for us how the Christian life works, how it works trusting with God. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, he had power to bless, right? And he was doing the works of God. And I want to tell you that if you're trusting in Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him and you've got the Holy Spirit in you, so do you. You're the one. You're the one that's going to speak blessing over the kids. And you're going to speak blessing into your home and into your workplace. And you know, as you receive from God, you know, that renewing love of God every morning, you're going to be able to change just whatever environment you go into. And, you know, one of my favorite verses is one that Pastor Mike talks about often. It's Psalm 90:14, and it's written on one of these pages that I can't find, but here we go. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let me challenge you. We've got to get in God's presence. Let him pour his love into our hearts. You know, and I heard, do it in the morning so that you've got the light of the glory of Jesus in you. And as you go through the day, you're just giving it out and you're blessing. This is what we're called to do. This is the life-giving message. You know, we're called to bless. Imagine how different our homes will be if we really embrace this calling on our lives, right? To bless and to speak life into the children or into our spouse or into our places of work or our communities. Imagine the people that are out there and they're so afraid how they're going to be changed. God wants to do that work. And he's called you and me to do it. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. Let me pray for you. Father God, we live in such a hurting world. God, we don't pretend to have the ability to change this world, but we know you do. And we know that you live in us by your Spirit if we have placed our faith and trust in you. And Father, I just pray your anointing, Lord, on your people. Father, would you strengthen us, oh God, to live in the blessing that you want to speak over us. And even as Pastor Josh challenged us last week, God, that we would think your thoughts. Lord, that we would let that word permeate our minds and our hearts. And Father, I pray that like Pastor Mike challenged us, God, that we would commit ourselves to outdoing one another in honor, God, that we would take that blessing you put on and pour it out to everyone we come in contact with, especially the children, especially, God, when we lose sight, God, and we see people as interruptions or as inconveniences instead of the gifts that they really are. Father, thank you. God, we put our trust in you. Who is able for such a task? Only you. And God, the people that you empower to do it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.